Congregation, young friends, maybe you have seen that slogan, "You only live once." YOLO. It hurts. You see that on t-shirts. You only live once. In a sense, that's true, right? We only have one life. Only one life. You can't repeat it. Once we must die. But you know what it means is you live only once and then it's over. So enjoy it right now to the fullest. Absorb as much joy as you can and love it. Love your life because you've only one life. You know the Apostle Paul writes about that? He says, yes, if there will be no God and no resurrection and no eternity, then I can see it. He writes, if after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it to me if the dead rise not, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. And we read about it. In those well-known verses, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And yet, as we know, this life is short. You've seen that this last week again. So suddenly, people can be taken out of this life. And is it this life's purpose to just enjoy it because death will come? Of course not. Do we have this? Do we love this life so much that it's the only thing we love? Is nothing else? Is there nothing else we have? Well, we are called to look for a city with foundations, which maker and builder is God. And that's the text for this morning. Hebrews 11, verse 13 through 16. Let me only read verse 13. Hebrews 11, 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So far, migrants on their way home. Three thoughts: the promise to go home. Secondly, the faith to go home. And in the third place, being migrants. Migrants on their way home. The promise to go home, the faith to go home, and being migrants. Congregation, let us try to unpack, to unwrap this beautiful text. Let me start here. There are things we can see, right? There are invisible things. There's absolutely no way you can see them, like things that have happened in the past, things done in the past. You can't see them anymore. You were not there, like creation. We were not there. Something happen beyond our imagination. So impressive. And we haven't witnessed it ourselves. So it's something invisible. We read about that in verse 1 of chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And look at verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds are framed by the word of God, so that things that are seen were not made of things which do appear. So creation, what happened exactly, is obscure. We haven't been there. It's by faith that we see those and believe those invisible things. And not only the past is invisible, there are also things today invisible. And there's also a future that is invisible, you can see. It's obscure. You can see it. We don't know what's going to happen. Let me give you an example. Someone is planning to build a new house. And there's a picture, a design, all the papers on the table. But it looks great. That's the house you'd like to build. This and that and change that and redesign that. But that's the house. And you see it on the picture. It's not reality. You don't see it. You have it in your mind. You have a picture. Remember, you don't really see it yet because it has not been built so far. So you anticipate it. You're working on it. You're hoping for it. You're desiring it. You're excited about it. But you have not lived there. You haven't seen it yet. It's in the plan. Or think of migrant workers in our area. They are from Mexico or other places, and they are here for a while, and then they are looking forward to go home to their families again. And they don't see it, but they hope it, to go there again. Or think of, from the Bible, of Noah. Right? Remember Noah, boys and girls? Noah. The Lord said, I promise, I foretell, I prophesy that there'll be a flood. And he did not see the flood. But the Lord said, build an ark and be prepared. And he did. He did not see water and flooding yet, but he already started building. And people said, what are you doing? Why are you building an ark? And because of the future, I see it happening. I see it from afar off. I use those binoculars and I see the flood is coming. So that's why I'm preparing myself and building this ark. Look at verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. See? Things you don't see. And so there is also a future kingdom. A resurrection. A new land, a new homeland for God's people. You don't see. As it's written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, and neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Or think of what the apostle writes in 2 Corinthians, while we look not at the things which are seen, but as the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Or the apostle Peter, whom having not seen yet you love, in whom though we now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. So what is it then? What is promised? What is the promise to go home? What's promised? What is that home? Let's try to unpack it, and maybe someone is interested about what the Lord has in store for his people. It's a homeland, a fatherland. Why is it called a fatherland, a homeland? Because then God's children will be truly home. They are not home here. Often they don't even feel at home. But is the home prepared for them? And the Father is there. It's a fatherland. Oh, there they will see God. Can you imagine? Blessed are the pure in heart, as they will see God face to face. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. To know God as God knows me, have that closeness, that fellowship, that true communion. There'll be no fear of God. Nobody will tremble anymore. There'll be a closeness and warmth and grace. Nobody will thirst after God anymore. Because the thirst is quenched. God's people are completely satisfied in all aspects and in all respects. Completely satisfied. They must be satisfied with joy. There's nothing in between God and them anymore. And God is all in all. They will be fellow citizens, all God's people on that new country. And we all join together and praise the Lord together and not fight anyway, agree on everything in that fatherland, in that homeland. Or it will be perfect, perfectly beautiful, because God is the designer, the architect, the builder, the maker of it. It will be beyond our imagination, something you can't comprehend. It will be so much more beautiful than we can possibly think. Oh, it's a city the Lord has prepared for them that love Him. The Lord has been working on that, has been preparing it. And the Lord Jesus came for that reason, to prepare a city, to prepare mansions for them. Sometimes God's children desire and long for that country. And although the enemy has been conquered, it's still moving its tail. There's still strife. Think of the Second World War, that the Germans were conquered, but that the land, Holland and partially was still occupied. Still occupied, although conquered. And so this world is conquered in a sense, and yet the enemy is still here. But one day it will come, the complete victory will be consummated. So many other places in the Bible read about this. It's everywhere. The Apostle Paul compares it to delivering a child. Painful. Delivering a child. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. But one day the child will be born, and there'll be new heavens and a new earth and a new creation. So what will that be, to know the Lord, to be with Christ? The Apostle Paul longed for that. He said, I don't know what to desire, to stay or to go. I'm in a strait between two things. To be with Christ is far better, to be with Christ, the Savior, the same one who came to this earth and was born in Bethlehem. To see Him, to be close to Him, your own eyes seeing Him. Him who loved us. Oh, Christ said on the cross, it's finished. And it was. But He had to give so much more yet. He was not finished with giving it. The foundation was laid. So in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. It's a house not made with hands. And it's so beautiful what you read about that in Revelation. Let me just take some time to go over those words from Revelation 21. He carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain. And he showed me from that mountain the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And the light was like the stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. For the land. You know, I see a road. I see a road to that land. I see people walking on that narrow pathway unto eternal life. They have entered through the narrow gate and they're walking on that narrow pathway, hating sin and striving and fighting the good fight of faith. And they hope to inherit that eternal life and to someday always be with God. They have a new heart. They have been regenerated. They have been born again. Because unless people are born again, they cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You need a new heart for that in order to enter into the kingdom. And the invitation to enter in that narrow gate is wide. It's a wide invitation, but the road is narrow. Think of a funnel in the kitchen. They have to put something into a bottle with a narrow neck. Put a funnel on that. It's wide on the top and narrow at the bottom. And so the invitation is wide, but the road is narrow. So don't put that funnel upside down. So difficult to get in. And as soon as you're in there, you can do everything. No, that's not how it is. It's the opposite. The invitation is wide, and the road to that country is narrow. Narrow. You have to pluck out your own eyes if necessary. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It's better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes and to be cast into hellfire. Consider it. Let's go to the second thought. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They all died in faith. All those people mentioned so far in Hebrews 11, Sarah, Jacob, Isaac, Abraham, Noah, Enoch, they all died. We all have to die. We all get our turn. We all get our turn. It's appointed unto men once to die. It is going to happen to me and to you. But these all died in faith. That's something. They died in faith, in accordance, it says, with that faith, in that expectation, in walking that narrow pathway, in seeing afar off, it is so invisible, And that coming country was so real to them, they're persuaded of it. So maybe you say, I don't understand that. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. Not having received the promises? They received the promise. Now it says they did not receive the promise. You know, sometimes the promise is what the Lord has said in his promise. And sometimes the promise is what he has given in the promise. So the Lord has spoken to Abraham and others the promise, but they have not received the promise. They have not received the fulfillment of the promise. That's what it says here. These all died in faith, not having received the promises in its fulfillment. They have only seen them afar off. So think of the Israelites. The Israelites were delivered out of Egypt and wandered through the wilderness, and they were traveling towards the promised land, and they're persuaded of it, and they believed in it. Think of Abraham before that. He had to go out of that country, and he obeyed. Beautiful. That's why it says in verse 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, future. Hope for the fulfillment of the promise, the evidence of things not seen. So there is a people that travels to a future country they don't see yet, and yet they see it. Nobody else sees it, but they see it afar off. They have those binoculars in front of them, and they see it coming. Others say, I don't see anything, but Noah said, yeah, I see it. I see the flood coming. I'm persuaded of that. It is going to happen for sure. I'm going to build an ark. And they said, well, we don't see it. He said, I see it afar off, from a great distance. It's approaching. So all God's children die in faith, not having received the fulfillment of the promise, but having seen them afar off. A little foggy, but they have seen something of it. Like Abraham also saw something of the Messiah coming. When Isaac was born, and he saw a piece of the fulfillment of the promise of God. Having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them. Persuaded of them. Abram was so persuaded, the Lord said, go out of your country, your father's house, the land I will show you. And he was so persuaded, he said to Sarah, Lord, let's go. Let's go, I have to go. Where are you going? I don't know. We'll see. The Lord will show me. But I'm so persuaded there is something there out there, and you're going. So, having seen them afar off, persuaded of them and embraced them. So when do you embrace someone? When do you hug someone? And you like that person, and you greet that person, and you say, you're so welcome in my house. And you have not seen your children for a while, or your parents, you like to embrace them, to welcome them. And so all those that have died in faith have seen it, that part of faith has seen the country, are persuaded of the country and embraced it. Meaning, I love it. I don't only believe it, I treasure it. I wholeheartedly welcome it. So that it's parallel to believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, which is also part of that. Believing in the Lord Jesus Christ isn't only seeing him and being persuaded of him, but also to embrace him, right? Being embraced by him and embracing him. And that's also true for this country. To see it, to be persuaded of it, and to embrace it, and to love it, and to cheer about it, to rejoice in it, to have hope through it. Or by nature, we embrace this life. We embrace the world. We love the things here below. You only live once. We embrace it all our might, whatever we can do on earth, to rejoice and enjoy life to the fullest, to embrace it. We are life embracers. But have we ever embraced by grace Christ? Have we embraced those promises? And embrace also that promise of the coming country. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. So it is to see it, to be persuaded of it, to embrace it, and to seek it. What do we seek? Now, you go to church and you believe in hell and heaven and conversion, all those things, but practically, do you live like you only live once type of thing? Blocking all things of the future, your death and destiny, just, I can't always think about that. Once in a while I do it, the rest I just live my life. Don't we seek the Lord and seek Christ and seek a country? There's zeal in there, there's effort in there, that's a specific life, to seek that country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But Abram did not return. But now they desire a better country. Desire. So they see it, they're persuaded of it, they embrace it, they seek it, they desire it. Oh, that is the life of God's people, if it's well. They may also live far away from those things, being so worldly again. But if they have not left that first love, this is the life. To see it, to be persuaded of it, to embrace it, to seek it, to desire it. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, no, I don't want to go back there. They desire a better country. Something better than this life offers. Something eternal. Congregation, how is that in your life? And the Holy Spirit comes and changes you around and gives you a new heart. You're born again. You begin to see things in a different light. You receive eyes to see sin, to see condemnation, to see your misery, to see a way of salvation, to see something of Christ, to see something of that future, and to see things you haven't seen before. But by God's grace, you're also persuaded. And the Lord gives a knowledge of things, to be sure about things. Not wondering, but certain about the truth of the Bible. It sinks in, it makes complete sense, and you say, it is true, it becomes reality. You are persuaded of it. When the Holy Spirit comes, it becomes an embracing. That's emotional. That's heartfelt. Believing is not just believing facts and being persuaded and see them. No, truth-saving faith always has the embracing in it. You receive hands to receive and to embrace. Have you? Have you embraced, appreciated, believed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he came to seek and to save them, the lost? Have you embraced it? Are you seeking it in your life? In reading the Bible on your knees to seek it? Oh, the Lord gives in the hearts of his beloved ones a desire, a hunger, a thirst for the living God. And they become different people. And many don't understand them. They are speaking a different language. They're different people, different culture. And here on this earth, they don't always feel so much at home anymore. But now they desire a better country that is unheavenly. And do you see that the last part of 16, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God? For he has prepared for them a city. God is not ashamed of them. God does not say, I can't have you here. I'm just ashamed of your life. I can't have you in heaven. No, the Lord is not ashamed of them that seek that country. But if you don't seek that country and don't desire that country, God will be ashamed of having you in heaven. The Lord will say, I can't have you here. I'm ashamed of you. Will God be ashamed of having you with him on the earth? The Lord will say, that you're so different. You're so different from my people. You don't seek, you don't desire, you don't embrace, you are not persuaded. You belong to the world. And you will perish with the world. Do you see that necessity, the change? May I encourage you to seek and to repent. And to be persuaded, and to believe, and to embrace. Oh, you only live once. That's true. And then eternity. It is a terrible thing to fall in the hands of the living God. If we have served this world and lived like I only live once, God will be ashamed of us. But they all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them, embraced them, and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Migrant workers on their way home. The promise of going home in the word, the promise. And then the faith, they believed it. Before I go to the second, the last thought, Ecclesiastes 11. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee. You live, let your heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. These all died in faith. That faith you are in need of. And it says in the last line of 13, and confessed that there were pilgrims, strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So last thought. A congregation of migrant workers from Mexico, for example, are from a different country, different culture, hard to understand, different language they speak. And when they have worked for a season, they like to go home, for example. And they have been here and there were some difficulties with communicating and adjusting to our culture. Well, so Abraham left Ur of the Chaldeans and left Haran and went to that country the Lord would point him to. And never, right? Never really inherited it. He never got it. He traveled in it in tents, but he did not receive that city with foundations. Was he not disappointed? Did he feel deceived? Lord, thou hast promised me that special land, and I didn't get anything. Not even a footstep. And yet, that has a reason why he did not get it yet. Because now they desire a better country. The Lord said, Abram, I have something better in mind for you. Something so much better that I don't give you the city here. You have to wait for that, Abraham. The city will come later. A better country. So that's why Abraham never got it. Because the Lord has something else in mind. And how important it is to live like that. To also confess publicly and show that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. To show it. In what sense? I have 9 points for you. Short, nine short points, practical points of what it is. To be a pilgrim here below and a stranger on earth. In the first place, being such a stranger and sojourner and pilgrim means you have a new heart. Repentance. All those things we talked about, right? Things we talked about. Being persuaded and embracing and seeking and desiring. That's the first point I would like to make. Those pilgrims are seekers. They desire God and the future country. They're busy with those things through God's grace. But secondly, keep in mind if you belong to those strangers and those pilgrims. People view you also as different people. They don't understand us. They see you speak a different language. You're from a different culture. You're from another planet. Doesn't make any sense to you. Count on that. Count on it that if you belong to God's people, that people have frowned on you and became even maybe hostile towards you. Like you see right now in Holland, with all the turmoil about the Nashville statement. Maybe you've heard about that. So much resistance and trouble because we are from a different country. In the third place, let us think about it a lot. Meditate on it. On that country. Sit in your chair and sit back and close your eyes and say, Lord, where am I going? I only live once, but after that, where am I going? Think about the reality of hell for yourself. And think of the reality of that promised land. And go over it, what that all means. The Father, no sin. That magnificent city, to inherit all things, that God is all in all, to see God, to be with Christ. Meditate on those things. If ye then be risen with Christ, are you? See those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. In the fourth place, pray and continue in prayer and don't cease. Prayer without ceasing. Speak with God. See that connection with the King. Five. If you belong to those strangers and those pilgrims, you may be sure of the victory. You have to go through this life and this strife and problems, but the victory is for you. It will be well. Six, traveling to that city, you need a map. And keep that map close. It's the Bible. Read it, that you won't err and won't get lost. Or don't hold on to things too tight. But in a loose way, when you hold something, you can don't have such a grip on it. Just loosely holding it with everything in this life, even your dear ones. Don't hold so tight on the things of this life, but loosely, because you have to let go somehow, sometime, anyway. That's what the Bible says. Listen to this. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both that they have wives be though as they had none. You're married? Not too tight. As though they had none. And they that weep as though they wept not, and those that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not, and they that use this world as not abusing it. Why not? For the fashion of this world passes away. Don't hold too tight. Be afraid of sin. and live a holy life. It's remarkable how that is connected to this. When you look at chapter 13, verse 14 and 15, you see that repeated. I read in 13, verse 14, "For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." So if you are traveling on a narrow pathway, be afraid of sin. It's a narrow pathway for a reason. But ninth, rejoice. You may rejoice if you're on that pathway, striving and fighting. Rejoice always. You have reasons to rejoice. Like Abraham died in faith. Congregation will wonder that God is not ashamed of those. If you're not ashamed of someone, you're proud of someone, right? Can you say that God is proud of his people? I won't say that. But it's getting there. The Lord has such a delight in his people. I'm not ashamed of you. It's my work I see in you. The Lord being proud of his own work in them, I can say that. You know, the old Jacob was dying. And the old Jacob, before that, spoke to the Pharaoh. And he said, "The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been. And I have not attained to the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage." She also had that pilgrimage life. Congregation, in closing. And I beseech you something. Not only beseeching you to seek the Lord, I pray you be reconciled to God. But I also would like to say this with 1 Peter 2, verse 11. "Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." Amen. Almighty, all-sufficient Lord, we ask thee to apply thy word. Oh, do we love this life? Lord, disconnect us in a sense so we may understand our responsibilities here on earth, but that we won't overdo it. Make us truly pilgrims and sojourners and strangers here below, and make us, Lord, to be persuaded. Make us to see it, to embrace it, to desire it, to seek it, and to confess that we are strange and pilgrims on the earth, working with thy Spirit, so we won't be disappointed when we come to the end, as something better is prepared for thy people. O Lord, do not only stir our feelings, make us not only emotional, but make us wise and make us willing. Make us willing to deny self. Make us willing to let go. Make us willing to seek that country. We ask in the forgiveness of our sins, be with us as of this day. Bring us also safely back home and back to thy house. In Jesus' name alone, amen.